So we have a number of people. We have in the control room, which is the little bitty room that we have to work with, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 7 if you count me, and I don't know if we do, but they are, well, Diana Talley, Kelly Watson, Becca Arg, and we're going to talk because she's a new person in a Gillnet. Selena Rubio. Hello again. Nice to see you. She's off mic because we don't have enough mics for everybody. We have to shuffle people. Let me see. Looking at my list, there's one person whose name, Frances Sheldon O'Neill, and she is the senior project person, and your microphone is live. Why don't we start with you? Since you're here and since the microphone is close to you, you're a senior where?
At Port Townsend High School.
Okay, and this is your senior project, meaning that you're planning on leaving the high school some good day soon, maybe even excited about it. How did this become your senior project? And what are you doing for the project?
Well, basically, I was in the Girls Vote project last year, and then I talked to Kelly about having this be my senior project this year. We've been organizing the event this year.
And what does it mean to organize it for you?
I've made the poster and made the program, and then I've worked on organizing and getting food for the event.
Frances, you said you were in the Girls Boat Project. Are you currently?
Yes, I am.
Well, what are you working on?
We're working on joinery right now, and then we're also working on building our El Toro boat.
Building an El Toro for going sailing.
Yes.
They're handy little boats to build. Joinery, are you working with the big, noisy, sometimes scary power tools?
No, just with like hand tools. I'm making a little box right now.
And what is the box going to do?
Its purpose is to gain skills and learn the art of fine woodworking, and then students can store whatever they like in their box.
I see. I was thinking of El Toro's as not having a lot of room for boxes. This has nothing to do with
it. No, they're separate.
El Toro, for those who don't know, is an 8-foot long catboat, little sailboat, and not noted for being roomy, but handy to build, as I said. So you're building a box, so you're actually learning woodworking skills.
Yes.
Hand tools, planes, and chisels. I was talking to a woman, actually she went sailing with me at the Shipwrights Regatta last weekend, and she's in her mid-20s now, and she's learning how to use those very same tools. How quickly do you find that you learn without hurting yourself?
I don't think I learn that quickly. I mean, I get the gist of it. I'm not very accurate, but I'm learning how to use these tools and, the basic skills.
For how long have you been working with them?
This is like my second year in the Girls Boat Project, and that's basically when I started working woodworking skills.
What are you learning about yourself?
I'm learning that it's fun to use these skills and that, like, if I set my mind to something that I can actually get it done.
So one more thing and then we'll move on to other people, but describe the box you're building.
It's kind of like a dark wood, but it's really, really thin. It was an experiment to use that thin wood, and it's, I don't know, how big would you say it is? Like
8 inches.
Eight inches, yeah. It's just pretty small. It's kind of cracked too, but it's working out.
Do you have, from your past, do you know yourself as having artistic ability?
I mean, I can draw a little bit, but other than that, I wouldn't say I have that much.
People will not see you on the stage tomorrow, but you will be behind the scenes.
Yes.
And if you're working with a food, people will appreciate your effort considerably. A senior project means you move on soon.
Yes.
What have you in mind to do?
I think I want to study social work.
Do you know where?
No, I don't know yet, but I think my top two choices are either Western Washington University or Whitman.
Whitman is a fine school down in Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm.
Have you applied?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
And good luck with that box. Maybe I'll get to see it someday. Huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
So the idea is a lot of us have participated in the Fisher Poet Gathering down in Astoria, and we just want to represent the fact that there's a lot of women that work in the maritime industry, whether on land, on the water, or sailing. So when you work in the industry, often you look around and there's not a lot of women there. We are definitely a minority, but there are truly a lot of us doing this work. Essentially, this program is a Northwest Maritime Center program that we run in conjunction with the Port Townsend High School. So students get credit through Port Townsend High School for the Girls Boat Project, and yet it's supported solely through this fundraiser. So we really appreciate people being able to come out and support us.
And am I right in saying that the Girls Boat Project is something that you created? Kelly Watson created this.
Correct. Myself and one other woman started it as part of the Felicity Ann Boat Project. This portion kind of peeled out a couple years ago and moved down to the Maritime Center. Last year was our second year we were at the Maritime Center, and this year we're up at the high school, which works well because students can stay on campus. They can just move right over to the shop for their seminar period once a week.
So Frances is building a box, but you mentioned something about an El Toro.
We're building an El Toro for the Center for Wooden Boats. So last year they loaned us the jig and gave us the material for the planks. And then Alicia Dominguez, who's also one of the organizers of this event, went to boat school, and she is working as a boat builder with us and an instructor. So she comes up on Wednesdays and works with half the students to craft the El Toro.
So you build one El Toro, and what will become of it?
It's going to head back over to Seattle and join the sailing fleet for the Center for Wooden Boats.
Uh-huh. Have you sailed El Toros before?
Only a couple times, not very much.
They work pretty well. Selena, I think it's time for some music. We have a very... I have said that there's one characteristic sound for this show, and that is the clunking of microphones, because we have to move them so much. How have you been?
I've been pretty well.
I see you around town. I don't know... Where, do you work somewhere?
I work at Tides Inn.
That's not where I see you then. I don't know where I see you, but I do see you around town because I remember you. Maybe
I walk everywhere.
Maybe it was at the Elevated Ice Cream. Do you ever eat ice cream cones?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I saw you. Do you have a new song for this year?
I think I'm going to sing the song that I did.
I don't know what that was, but I hope it wasn't expensive. Something just hit the floor. Okay, would you please sing the song and then we'll talk some more?
Yeah. Birds crash into thy window. Ooh, I hear the thunder. Oh, roll that boat. Reach out, I'm going under. Ooh, into the ocean, but I miss that rope, and it's really salty, but I got thee, the waves to move, the waves to move. It's not all tasty, but I will pray thee, but thy worst is true. Thy words is true. I'm feeling salty, but I roll the boat. I need to get out of here, 'cause I'm not thinking clear. Near the ocean, that is where I'm coasting, flowing deeply frozen. So roll that boat. Oh, I'm not feeling like I can really reach it. Oh, I'm really sinking. So roll that boat. I'm feeling salty. I'm so lost at sea. I don't know what to do, but I keep on rolling head on. And all I'm thinking is wishless dreaming. I'm trying to breathe in, but it's just coming out like roll that boat. Roll that boat. Roll that boat. Roll that boat. Passengers, come on. Passengers let go, but I don't want to lose. But I fell into a spiral, a spiral.
We have a live studio audience. Selena Rubio, what year are you in school?
I'm also a senior.
I was thinking last year. Yeah. So what are you going to be doing?
I'm not really certain yet, but I want to do something that has to do with hospitality and tourism.
And what have you been doing with the boat project this year?
I have also been working a little bit on the El Toro boat. I'm doing the basics because I took first semester off, and I just started back up second semester. So I'm just getting back to the basics. We have upgraded our tools, and so I'm learning that.
So you talk about getting into hospitality
after
you graduate, but how about work with tools? How about the kind of work that you're learning with a boat project?
I don't know. My mind is just crazy. I don't really know where I see myself at the moment. Like, I would like to do both, but it's hard to choose.
Ever think about going to the boat school?
I kind of thought about it, yeah.
Well, let's talk about your music. You sing. You must sing elsewhere besides in the control room here.
Yeah, I take lessons now from Leslie Lewis.
Well, you do?
Yes.
She's a pretty fabulous singer.
Yes.
And strikes me as being a really wonderful person.
Yes.
Okay, and that song is a song that you wrote.
Yeah.
You've written other songs.
I have.
Yeah. Just chose to sing the same one again because it relates to boats and so forth.
Yes, exactly.
Other songs that you've written, though, what are they about?
I think I've written about maybe four or five. They're just about, I don't know, sometimes I just sit in my room and I'm just like, oh, I have to write this song because it's just to get things off of my mind and stuff. And it's just it's in the moment.
And so you don't really write them down and you forget them?
That's one thing I do, actually. And then I'm just like, oh, no. But I write the ones that, stick to me down on paper. I try to get a paper in time to, remember it. But, yeah.
Do you ever record yourself when you're just messing around so that you might remember
yes,
it later?
Do. Yes.
Well, there used to be a fellow who worked at Carl's Building Supply when I would go in, and I always thought of him as a really nice fella, and then he went and worked someplace else. But his last name was the same as yours.
Oh.
I think Tony Rubio is probably your dad, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. What's he doing nowadays? I don't ever see him anymore.
He's running his own business and construction and stuff, and he's keeping pretty busy, and yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell people that they're listening to Toss Salad. Radio station is KPTZ. The town we all know is Port Townsend. This is a group of women, two of whom are in the Girls Boat Project, and all of whom, in one way or another, participating in She Tells Sea Tales tomorrow night, Maritime Center at 7 o'clock. Now, I look around. We've talked to Frances about the boat school and about organizing. We've heard Selena's song making me want to hear another, and I just might beg, and perhaps you'll even give in. But how about a story? Because stories are She Tells Sea Tales. And I have Emily here, who won't tell her story, but we'll talk about it.
No.
Oh, yes.
Well,
I'm willing to give a teaser, like a, what do they call it, like a trailer for a movie kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but not the full 15-minute, you know.
Well, we'll get the teaser. I'm looking at Kelly Watson, and I think Kelly is going to come up first with a story. If she's happy with that, I will be happy with that. Last year, she told a story about arm wrestling at a bar in Alaska, and she told the story, I think, again on the show, and I had actually, just for fun, challenged her to an arm wrestling match on the show that day. And I will tell you that Kelly is close to 6 feet tall. I used to be 5'10". Kelly is a younger person than I, and I was willing to lose, but I never had the chance because she never let me have it. Kelly, what is your story this year?
Well, I'm not going to read the piece tomorrow. I'm going to read a piece about paddling down the Yukon River. I'm pretty sure that's what I'm going to read. It partially depends on time. And I brought an old piece in with me to share today.
It's up to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This is from when I worked at spot prawn fisheries a handful of years ago, maybe 8 years ago now, something like that, 9 years ago. And this is how it goes. You had been tossing gear off the back deck like you did all those days, sorting and coiling lines, hanging one limp pink salmon from each pot. Tall, strong, redheaded, and just a bit too motherly to be the ex-Marine that you are. You made us stacks of pancakes falling over the edges of the cheap white plates, rocking out to your over-earphoned Walkman and scooting about that tiny galley. And that was only half of our breakfast. The other, a plate piled high with what you called hash, and I still call leftovers scrambled with eggs. 20 below zero and 6 a.m., Mike and I emerge from the freezer, where we had been clumsily slipping about packing master cartons of extra large, jumbo and super jumbo Alaska spot prawns bound for the Japanese market. You'd greet us with mugs of hot Folgers poured from the bun pot and ask with a lilting hun or shug if we'd like a little bit more. And after breakfast, you'd straighten out our rain bibs before we'd all head out back on deck to work. Wrapped around your wrist and snagged onto your watch, I don't remember what you yelled or how we knew how to hold onto your skittering body as the skipper stopped the boat and Mike grabbed the first but dullest knife he saw in the galley. Handing it to me, it cut like butter on a hot summer day. Those four shrimp pots gone, but you were still there. Jess, the skipper, was there, and Mike and me and you and all of us were pumped with adrenaline. We were quiet. I walked past the captain and said softly, "Sorry. Sorry about losing your gear." "Always," he said. "It's just gear. Always." And I went right back to work. I went as if nothing had happened, except nerves ringing in my throat, hands skittish, trying to pack shrimp. A few more sets flew till Jess, nervous too, switched it up, and you became the sorter, and now Mike was tossing our gear. After the closure and back in port, you insist on taking me out for beers. "You saved my life," was your line, even though Mike was the one who got the knife, and Jess stopped the boat, and he's the skipper, and you can buy us all beers, I think. Don't spread your attention too thick over here. But off we went, doors opening and pizza bought,
and I made the mistake of taking a shower. No beers were actually bought. Without asking, you ordered me a martini, which at the time I didn't like, and now I know if it had been gin instead of vodka, late that night would have gotten awkward. But before I finish the first, you ask the bartender for a second, and she tells you she'll have to finish that one. It's the only martini glass in town. I choke back the rest, and for some reason consent to a second, swapping tales with the other crews and drunk with the pleasure my first shrimp season closed. A few more sips and I'm done. Half a martini left, and I announce I'm bound for the boat. Chick flick rented, tucked in my blue and green floral bag. I'm off. Hey, good night. Thanks for the drinks. And Ryan, no longer his sober self from the boat, follows me out. And I cringe a bit, wishing that this deckhand-turned wannabe date be done. And out in front of Keto's cave, he reaches for the stop sign. He balances on the curb. One dull street light illuminates his fisherman's frame and the falling rain. Okay, I'll sing for you, he says. Eyes closed, one hand pulling aft on the dull red reflection of the sign, he lets it rip. And liquid art emerges. Engulfing the night, the stars we cannot see beyond the thick clouds, the dirty pavement, me. I'd been asking him to sing on the boat ever since I'd learned that he's in a band back in Tacoma. But he doesn't like to mix his careers, afraid the skipper will think he's kind of a wimp. And now, no skipper in sight, just me and him and one lonely smoker hiding under the eaves, sitting on the dock of the bay, fills this Petersburg night. And the red rain-jacketed smoker emerges, harmonizes, and at the end, miraculously, disappeared. Embarrassed and shy and flattered, I listen, and a grin cracks across my face. And when the music ends, I'm floating back to the boat, alone.
And happy to be alone?
Yeah, in that case, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that written?
Boy, I think it was 9 years ago or something. It was quite a while ago.
And you're not fishing these days, are you?
I sure hope to be.
Oh, really?
But I did take, and that's part of what I'm going to write about tonight, or read about tomorrow night. I did inadvertently take off last summer. And so I ended up just calling a little too late for my job up north. And it was a little late in the game, so I went paddling, and I drove a research boat in the San Juan Islands last summer instead.
I should remember. Oh, did you? That would be a nice summer, I would think.
It was, but, you know, those of us that work in the north, man, if you're not up north in the summer, it just feels kind of wrong.
You miss it, huh?
Yeah, big time.
And would you hope to be working in Alaska many summers into your future?
I certainly want to spend most every summer up north. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So how do you have what I would call a normal, regular life in your community if you're gone half the year? I mean, this is true for women in fishing, but it's true for anybody who fishes. It traditionally has been men. But for women, the same. It seems like you disconnect yourself.
You know, there's those of us that are just, that's the way we're built, and it makes sense to us. So for me, I would say the bigger transition is I'm now teaching up at Port Townsend High School, teaching a maritime studies class, and it's been a wonderful and a new chapter to be around for 9 months a year. That is a very different place for me. I was a seasonal worker since I graduated from college.
A friend, Ed Barcott, lives here in town. You may know Ed. Some of us, probably Diana knows Ed, right? Ed was, like many, a commercial fisherman in the summer and a teacher the rest of the year. Is that what you're migrating towards, do you think?
I think so. We'll kind of see how it all settles out. I was a tenderman for many years, the people who kind of carpool the fish from the fishing grounds back to the cannery. And that's been kind of my fisheries career. And we'll see what the next chapter is.
And what are you doing with the school system?
I'm teaching a maritime studies class that Selena joined in at the semester. So it's a 2-period-a-day class where we are learning about the marine trades up in the high school shop and on the schooner Adventurous. And then we're also, half the class is vessel operations. So we go down to the Maritime Center and go sailing in the longboats and on the Thunderbird and on the Dorgin.
5 days a week?
It's actually 4 days a week, like most high school classes are 4 days a week, because there's a block day.
I was just going to say my youngsters were in high school, and I think they went. I wonder where they were going on the other day of the week.
No, they're there.
They said they were going to school.
Okay. Not to worry.
Well, other fisheries you've worked in, just a little background. You have been here before, but not everybody listens to the show every Friday. Most people do, of course, and the audience grows and grows. But nevertheless, a quick summary. Your first fishery was what?
I was a tenderman for about 10 years on a power scow, and then that power scow became a kind of a microprocessor. So I worked with Greg Friedrichs, who works in the shipyard for many years. And then I tried out spot prawn fishing for a little bit. And then I've worked up in Bristol Bay. I ran a boat in Southeast Alaska as a tenderman captain 1 year, and up in South Central Alaska in Prince William Sound. Most recently, I've been in Bristol Bay.
And I would imagine one reason that the summer in the San Juans was not as satisfying is I don't imagine you made anywhere near so much money as you might have in a good season in Bristol Bay, for example.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, something to consider. Well, teachers aren't meant to get rich, and sometimes they don't. That's Kelly Watson, co-organizer of She Tells, Sea Tales, and that was her story. Becca Argo is a new face and a new ukulele. Yeah, much closer, please. You probably want to move the chair. And Becca is a gillnetter, owns a gillnetter. As soon as we get you in where you belong here, closer, yeah, that'll help. Now speak up here.
Okay.
Oops, I turned your microphone on. People can hear you. Can I hear your voice just for a moment?
Sure.
Hey, there.
How's
it is.
Going?
Very well. A gillnetter you have.
Correct.
What's her name?
Its name is Vigo.
I've seen Vigo.
Yeah, it's actually down here. We brought it down for the winter. We've actually been crabbing Puget Sound for all the winter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is fishing something that you started to do as a young person, as a child, a family business?
Not at all.
Really?
No. I'm originally from South Carolina, and moved out here to farm.
Oh.
And then I met a guy, is how it started, who had a hand troller named the Reba H.
Uh-huh.
And he took me hand trolling up in Alaska.
Oh, every now and again I can hear the Carolina in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fell in love with hand trolling. That was the first fishery I ever participated in. It's really exhilarating.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Are you surprised?
But,
all this comes to you?
A little bit, yeah. I would have never seen myself fishing as a small child, you know.
Well, being the father of a daughter who has taken an interesting turn in her life because mm-hmm. of a fellow, I can appreciate how this happens.
Yeah.
She moved to Indiana, which is what she did, and most mm-hmm. people nowadays are not moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Your ukulele looks brand new.
Yeah, actually, this is a new one.
Uh-huh. And have you played others before? Have you been playing for a while?
I started playing the ukulele
yeah.
Because of, spending the summers on the boat
mm-hmm.
and everything gets sloshed around and breaks, and I just figured I'd have the smaller instrument to have with me.
I have a boat guitar.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Totally.
And it isn't precious,
mm-hmm.
so I don't worry about it terribly much.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you play other instruments, too.
I do. I generally play the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
So this routine of singing with an instrument is nothing brand new to you?
No, I've been playing and singing for a long time.
And you're from North Carolina?
South Carolina.
One of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
This is going to be good. There's genuine mountain music, hill songs, maybe.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, we'll see. It's definitely songs that I wrote about fishing with my mm-hmm. my partner, and songs I wrote on the boat. And so it's genuine
uh-huh.
from somewhere, from the water.
So one song you said, but there is a risk here.
Mm-hmm.
The risk is that if we really like the song you sing, we'll ask for more.
Okay.
Okay. So let's hear the first one. We're that way, you know. I mean, just looking around the room, you know these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Okay. You're on.
Okay. And this song is about contemplating my new relationship dynamic. I bought a boat and a gillnet permit with my partner. And, it's kind of interesting having a partner who's your sweetheart but also your captain who gets the final say, because there is only one captain on a boat. Say, you ask me what I want about. you're the captain of this boat. Fish all night, well, that's all right. Fish in the kelp, I guess I'll help, 'cause you're the captain of this boat. Yeah, you always get your way, but that's all right, it's usually my style anyway. I know you let me have my say. You ask me what I want about every day. Still, you're the captain of this boat. Get pushed by the tide, I'm by your side. Curse at the seals, I know how you feel, 'cause you're the captain of this boat. Captain of this boat. Yeah, you always get your way, but with that smile, how could it be any other way? I know you let me have my say. You ask me what I want about every day, 'cause you're the captain of this boat.
For the applause to subside before we say thank you for the song.
You're welcome.
Interesting. My wife, Emmy Lou, and I have a boat. We do not fish, but we sail it and we cruise it. And I really do like to think of us as being co-captains. Not in your boat, though.
It doesn't work like that.
Well, you think because it's a fishing boat?
Well, we make decisions and we talk about what we're going to do. But, you know, it's a little bit stressful, and when things are high, you know, intensity, you need one person making decisions.
And you're content with that?
Yeah, for sure.
And has he been fishing longer than you?
Yes,
okay,
for sure.
So the experience counts for something, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, someday you're going to have a lot of experience in those rubber boots of yours, too.
Yeah.
And then who knows, we'll be singing to whom.
Well, my favorite part so far is fishing the night shift when the captain is asleep. I get a lot of autonomy and I make decisions and run the boat alone. So I kind of get to be the night captain, if you will.
And that includes hauling the gear?
Yeah, sure. I pick the fish. I decide when to pick it, you know, keep an eye on our speed, our drift speed, and our distance from the shore and all that.
Next, I'm going to turn it over to Diana, and she's going to give us as much of a teaser as you would like to about the story you're doing tomorrow, or none at all.
That's right. This has nothing to do with the story. Phil just asked me to tell a story.
Oh, that works too. Just a story. Yeah.
This is something completely different, maritime related, but it's basically a story about a man here in town that has been a great friend to me for over 25 years, and I met the very first day I came to town. The reason I want to tell this story is because he has always treated me 100% like a girl, and I really appreciate it. And I'm talking about Doug Lockhart, and this is a story about the day I met him, which was the first day I came to town. Came to town on my sailboat that I built and was negotiating for a slip. And he and a few other people were actually in the yard office, and Doug asked me all the pertinent questions. And, of course, the first thing he asked was, how big is she? And I said, well, she's 38 feet. And he said, 38 feet? And I went, uh-huh. And he said, are you sure? And I went, I built this boat. I don't know how big she is. And he said, oh, well, I'm sure you're right, but, you know, we're just going to go down and measure it. And I thought, fine, just fine. And I'm standing there watching him. And so Doug and Terry walk down the dock, and they've got their manly 100-foot tape. And they're going to go down, and they're going to measure my boat. And I'm thinking, boy, are they going to feel stupid. And they measure the boat, and then they come up, and Doug couldn't have been kinder when he said to me, Diana, your boat is 38 feet on deck, but you know, here at the Port of Port Townsend, you have to pay for like the overall length, which is the actual space you take up. And the length of your boat is 50 feet, what with your bowsprit and your boom. And I hope that's all right with you. And all I could think was, my God. But it spawned a wonderful new nickname for me that day, and so from now on, you can call me Miss Measurement.
Nice. That's it. It's got a little bit of a double meaning there.
Yeah.
I am also performing at She Tells, He Tells tomorrow, and this is a little bit of the first part of what my story will be like. So it was day 3 of a 2-week trip, and we were still heading farther from home. We were still rowing farther from home because there had been no wind this entire time that we had been out. And I was out with 5 students and 1 other instructor. And I wasn't making a lot of the decisions this time because I was in a supportive role for my co-instructor as he kind of took the lead. And I had decided for myself, unless it had to do with safety, I wasn't going to second guess any of his decisions. I was just going to support him. So here we were, with 3 days left on this 2-week trip, heading farther from home because that was our original plan. And we're in Boston Harbor. And it is the middle of summer, and it is hot, and I am an Alaskan, and I don't think you have to be an Alaskan to melt like this, but I would take my hat, and I would dip it in the water and put it back on and let the salt water just, like, drip all over you, and normally this made everything feel, like, 10 degrees cooler, but I swear to you, this day, it would last 10 minutes, and then it would be dry, and I would be even saltier every time I would attempt this trick, and I drank 5 Nalgenes of water this day, and I only peed twice, and, like, that is not a good recipe for hydration, and, you know, if you're feeling like this, the 12 and 13-year-old young boys that I had brought out on this trip were feeling it even worse. We were on an Outward Bound trip for the past couple years. I've spent my summers working for Outward Bound on the East Coast. And similar to the Outward Bound that you might be familiar with here in Port Townsend, in this area, we have pulling boats. They're similar to the longboats in that you can row them or sail them. There is no engine. I think they're very lovely to sail. They're not the best ever, but they're safe and they barely ever will capsize. So if you can turn them over to folks who are very inexperienced, and it can be a safe time for them. And you can also row them as on this trip. We were just doing a lot of rowing given that there is no wind. Sometimes it happens in the summer. Now these are 4-ton boats and we had 5 students on board. We didn't start out with 5 students. We started out with 7, and 7 is reasonable even if you have to row every day. But on day 1, our diabetic student told us that unless he went home, he was going to put himself into a coma. And so he went home. Imagine you're in this spot where we are about to tell you for the next 2 weeks, you are going to poop in a bucket and you are going to pee overboard. Not exactly legal, but it is our policy because if you pee in the poo bucket, it gets very sloshy and nobody likes that business happening when you're trying to do the number 2. And you're seeing this one kid and he just misbehaved a little bit and he got a ride home. So what are you thinking? Like these parents, I don't really know what's in the brochures that goes out to the parents because most of the students come to us, they have no idea what any of this is going to be like. And they get there and they look at the boat and it's a 30-foot boat and it's an open boat. There is nowhere to go when it rains. There is nowhere to go when it suns on you. You are exposed all the time to the elements, except for at night when we put up essentially a tent that is fitted to the boat, but we sleep on the boat as well. There's no escape from it. So we had student number 2 think this was time for him to go home too. And we had brought the boat on the second day and very close to land, and he hopped right off it and he got right to an island. We were only like 30 feet away and probably in 2 feet of water. They don't draw that much. And the truth was he wasn't coming back out on that boat with us. We weren't going to take a student out that had that kind of affect for the trip. So we were down to 5 and we're thinking,
you know, we can probably still do this. This is okay. But it's a lot tougher to row a 4-ton vessel with 5 people. And the thing about Outward Bound is you can't make them, you just can't make them do it. They got to work together. If you have students who don't care about things, you can't just sail it. You need everybody to be paying attention so that the boat has to move one way or another. And if there's no wind, if they decide they don't want to go anywhere, the boat doesn't go anywhere. I cannot, even though I am the adult and they're used to the adults just making things happen for the most part in their lives, I cannot will the boat to move forward if they do not row the boat forward with their oars. And so there we are, and it's finally our turnaround point. And that day was just so hard, so hot, so tough that we kind of like had a meltdown. And what little fragments we had of working together as a team, they kind of just went away with how hard we had to work on that one afternoon. And it was probably the hardest day of rowing I've had. And there we are, 2 days left, and we got all the way to home to get. And I really honestly had no idea how we were gonna get there. I was thinking to myself, what happens if you screw up an Outward Bound trip? What happens if you get your student so far away and you don't make it back home? Is this a thing that happened? Is this what the tow ring at the front of the boat is actually for? Because I had never heard of another instructor getting kids so far away that they just actually couldn't get them back home. Their parents are going to show up. I know that their parents are going to be there in 2 days. What happens if we're not there? Because my students do not want to move this boat. And if you want to know the rest of that, you're going to have to find out. Yeah, and so here we are.
I just want to say that She Tells Sea Tales doors open at 6:00 and the event starts at 7:00. And we are hoping to sell out, so we'd love to see folks there early. And thank you. For